This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We're watching oil prices, interest rates, and kids who use Netflix passwords. I'm David Brancaccio. The magic number is 7. The U.S. Central Bank, the Fed, has now said there could be a total of 7 interest rate increases this year to fight inflation. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So 7, including yesterday. 7 sound right to you?
Well, that's certainly what I had forecast. Some on the committee even are looking for 8 with a half basis point move, perhaps as early as May. And they want to move up their reductions in their mammoth balance sheet, which will push mortgage rates even higher. That's one of the markets they have supported, and they don't want to be as much in that market anymore. The Fed is now in a position where they're really combating inflation. This is going to be the most aggressive rate hiking cycle we have seen in decades. And that's important because what the Fed is doing now is chasing inflation, combating inflation, instead of just preempting inflation as it has for so many decades.
Grant Thornton, chief economist Diane Swonk in Chicago. Crude oil traded in New York is up this morning, $102 a barrel now. This after a new analysis on when we will see less oil because of sanctions on Russia for waging war on Ukraine. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here.
And David, that analysis is from the International Energy Agency, which is saying that about 3 million barrels a day of Russian oil are likely to go offline starting in April. That's about 3% of daily global consumption. And the IEA says there are 2 countries that could immediately make up for a shortfall, and that's Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates.
So not a coincidence then that British Prime Minister Boris Johnson was visiting both of those countries yesterday?
No. In fact, Boris Johnson was very frank about it, said he's there to get those countries to pump more oil. But he left empty-handed, didn't get the commitments he was seeking. And that's because Saudi Arabia, the UAE, are both part of OPEC Plus, along with Russia. And they have an agreement to increase oil output gradually as economies recover from the pandemic. And they haven't deviated from that slow pace, David, despite pressure from other countries.
Now, the U.S. is looking at an alternative source from Iran?
Well, right. There's an effort to revive the Iran nuclear deal. That's an effort that preceded the Ukraine war. But diplomats now say they're very close to an agreement, which would allow Iran to sell oil again. Iran has lots of oil in storage that could help, but analysts say it'll take months to get that oil to market. So not an immediate help.
Nova, thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Ukraine-Russia peace talks continue, but already an estimated 3 million people have fled that war. That's more than the population of Chicago in just 3 weeks. Poland has taken in the largest number. Also helping people to safety is Lithuania, a Baltic nation that's part of the EU and NATO northeast of Poland. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, spoke to Lithuania's president, Gitanas Nausėda. Victoria, how many refugees is Lithuania accepting, did he say?
Well, originally the government said that it was open to accepting about 10,000, but the president told me now more than 15,000 have come in, and that number is growing every day. President Nausėda also told me Lithuanians themselves are opening their homes to refugees, helping out with donations and financial support. And he says at a government level, the country is offering food, shelter, and long-term employment. Ultimately, though, as we know with these kinds of crises, there are longer-term questions about what happens to those who have fled conflict. And that question can become a controversial one in some countries. But here's what Mr. Nausėda told me about Lithuania's stance.
Lithuania is a fast-growing country, so we need additional labor force and additional people in order to make our economic progress even faster.
All right, so they need more labor, he says. Now, the Ukrainian president has said that if his country falls to Russia, Baltic nations could be next. What are President Nausėda's thoughts on that?
Well, to use his exact words, he said, unfortunately, it's true. And despite being a member of NATO, geographically, he feels Lithuania is vulnerable. It only declared independence from the Soviet Union in 1990.
They never had the illusions that they will be forgotten. And we did a lot in order to strengthen our security too, increase defense spending, in order to invest more into military equipment, and we intend to increase defense spending in the future.
Now, to be clear, David, President Nausėda did say that he really does believe in NATO as a defense organization, and he says that the additional defense support that it's already sent to his country and other Baltic nations is tangible evidence that NATO is working. But he said it has not been successful in the past in setting red lines, and that that failure is what's led to this war in Ukraine.
All right. Marketplace's Victoria Craig, also BBC, speaking to us from London. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, David. Thank you.
Retail sales for February rose just 0.3%, with prices up nearly across the board. Adjusted for inflation, those sales were down for the month. Now, granted, the slowdown comes after a particularly strong January, one of the weaker categories last month, online shopping. This after a very strong couple of years where Americans spent $1.7 trillion online during pandemic. This according to new data from Adobe. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
These last 2 years, people have been buying a whole lot more of all kinds of things online.
But what really seems to have separated here is grocery and consumable categories have just taken off versus where they were pre-pandemic.
Joel Rampolt at Alex Partners says before, most people didn't like the idea of letting someone else pick out their meat and vegetables. But many tried it for the first time during COVID and are sticking with it.
Buy online, pick up in store seems to be continuing to grow as home delivery falls off a little bit.
A big part of the reason people have been spending more money online is that they've been buying more things. But those things are also costing more.
We're also finding inflation is driving some of this growth.
Vivek Pandia at Adobe says right now,
inflation is accounting for about 30% of the overall growth we're seeing in online.
Adobe is forecasting that U.S. consumers will spend $1 trillion online this year. More than ever. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And okay, Offspring, service on the gravy train may soon be canceled. Netflix announced it started cracking down on the sharing of passwords between households, including mom and dad's password. The electronic snitching system begins testing in Central and South America. Eventually, those on the Netflix standard and premium plans will still get two sub-accounts for different households. But if you have three or more kids, how are you going to pick? I say, let's do it by who remembers my birthday. David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.